Hey folks, Dan Ferriero here with your closing bell for October 8th, 2024. So you saw mortgage rates basically just flat. Are they going to stay this way? Well, I don't know if you realize, but since the Federal Reserve cut rates, rates went up 0.5% since that time. So my whole goal right now is to figure out for you guys, as well as my entire staff, what's the Fed's next move? So that's where we're taking a deep dive into that today. So let's get to it. Right through here, here's the numbers that the Federal Reserve has to work with at the moment. This is basically the economy at a glance. Okay, so if you break down this, here's the conundrum that the markets have. You have the federal funds rate at 4.75 to 5. Okay, this is in there because we're going to talk about it here in a second at the CME FedWatch tool. But you have inflation. Inflation's at 2.2%. The Fed wants it at 2. And with housing inflation doing what it's doing and the lagging indicators behind it, they're almost certain that this is going to go 2 or below. Actually below that number. You have the unemployment rate. You saw back in during COVID, it was way up there. What's it doing right now? Well, we went from 4.3 to 4.2 to 4.1 recently within the last three readings. So the unemployment rate's coming down. Then you have the GDP, which is the production in the economy, at 3%. That's a pretty darn good number that we're seeing right now. So that's the dilemma that the Fed has. They're saying, okay, all indicators are good. So we're focusing now on the jobs report. So let's get over to the economic calendar that we have for today. You can see there's basically nothing that's coming in today. The news is coming in tomorrow, but the good news we have today is right now is Atlanta Fed's GDP. It was updated. The last reading was 2.5. Expected it came in at 2.5. It came in at 3.2. So that's meaning there's even more or even better production in our economy right now. So that's the dilemma that we have right now. So Rick Santelli, I found this video. And it was from last, I think it was Thursday or Friday, but it pivots on everything that we're looking for in regards to answers. So let's check out his video. And what they're going to talk about, they're going to talk about how the CME FedWatch tools changed over the last couple days since some reporting came out. And also they're the talk about the deficit, how that's also a dilemma for the Federal Reserve. So let's check out this video. It's really informative. And then I'm going to give you my take on this as they talk about it. Then we come back, we're going to dissect some of the numbers and get a reach out there to figure out, are they going to cut 25 basis points, 50 basis points? Are they completely taking the rate cuts off the table? So let's take it away with Rick and see what they have to say at CNBC.
What did you think of today's numbers? They were just talking about the big moves in yields.
You know, every way you cut it, the numbers were very, very good. You know, the job growth was good. The wages were strong. There was no birth, death, model jobs that were created. So when you sum it all up, it was a very good report.
Part-time has been the, mantra of much of the job creation of late. There was definitely some full-time within this report.
Yeah, there definitely was. You saw some full-time numbers, and that was very good as well. Okay. So when you sum it up, I understand the bond market move, because all of a sudden now the 50 basis point cut we were looking for in November seems to have all disappeared, and now we're down to 25 basis points.
Yep, and bear flattening, as we were just talking about. Now, the other thing that I think we need to merit some discussion is, how does this affect the Fed? Okay, many believe that it should be a one and done now, or the market's view is 25 and 25 for the last couple of meetings.
You know, before the number, I thought that the Fed was already going to be in a difficult situation because we had strikes, we got the port strike resolved, but we still have the Boeing strike. We've got flooding in North Carolina and South Carolina and Georgia that's going to be a big problem, and that the economic data was going to be very muddy as we go forward. And to err on the side of caution, they were probably looking at a 25 basis point cut anyway. Now that you throw in this big number, it all but pretty much cements it.
Now, real quickly, while we're still talking about this report, hours worked was the lowest. To find a lower number than the 34.3, you have to go to March of 2020. That was last month. This month, 34.2. Now, that's March of 2020 to find a smaller work week. That does take a little of the positive zing off all the other metrics, does it not?
Yeah, there's a bit of an offset there. You know, when hours work go down, you tend to see more jobs. When hours work go up, they tend to hire less people as well. So if hours work went down and you hired more people, if that rebounds next month, you might see a depression in a number of people that are employed.
But it actually might make the wage numbers look better. Less hours and wages going up, that's pretty impressive.
Yes, that does. And in the world that we live in where we're worried about one-tenth on the wage numbers, it does matter.
Okay, now, next week, CPI and PPI. I've thought all along, if we continue to bump along...
Okay, so this, remember, this was last week. So now he's bringing us up to current. So they're going to talk about the numbers we're getting at the latter part of this week in regards to the CPI and the PPI. So the CPI, when we're referencing that, it's consumer inflation. Think a C on the front of it is CPI. C is consumer. Then we're going to have the PPI number. It's how much producer inflation's gone up, how much prices are going up. So that's what we're going to talk about briefly right through here.
On between 2.5% and 3%, and we get a couple of odd months that go higher, the Fed's going to be between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, they are. And if we're down to looking at monthly numbers, there is a residual seasonality in the CPI number and PPI. Residual seasonality just means that the seasonals affected. The seasonals are very positive now at the end of the year, so that could just skew the numbers higher and really put the Fed behind.
Now, make another quick prediction. Next week, not only we have CPI and PPI, we have threes, tens, and 30s. So we have the long end auctions at a time where the 10-year is within spitting distance of 4%. It's going to refocus on the debt and deficits. Well, next week could be a big week for interest rates.
After the move this week, usually you'd get some kind of follow through one way or the other.
So that's his take on it. So even the people down at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange who make millions just trading bonds and everything else, they still can't really bead in what exactly the Federal Reserve is going to do. So based on that number, let's go to the CME FedWatch tool. And the interesting piece through here, I go to this thing, aggregate. Don't ask me why. It's just easier to read. Now it's 13.27%. I think this was about either 12 or 16 earlier. So there's still a possibility. So what he was saying is the CME FedWatch basically took this line, this whole line out of here, the 4.75 to 5%. And because the reason being is that's where we are now. All right, right through here. And they're saying, well, the Fed's going to cut. So they just completely took it off here. But the dilemma was, are they going to cut 25 or 50? Well, now there's a possibility that they're not going to do anything. But from the guys at the CME, as well as Rick Santelli, he's pretty much thinking that 25 is still baked in. So there's still an 86% chance the Federal Reserve is going to cut rates another 0.25%. But you guys know, what have you learned from this? Well, you learn from this that you don't wait for the Fed to cut rates because mortgage rates might not follow suit. So I did I did some research for you guys. So I could go to ChatGPT. You know, I love it. And I put a question in there. Historically, has there been instances where the Federal Reserve cut interest rates, but mortgage rates actually went up? Okay, so we 2001 recession, it happened. The 2008 financial occurrences, it happened. And then mid-2010s, it kind of happened. So it's not uncommon. And that's why I kept telling you guys, I said, it's not given that the Federal Reserve, when they cut rates, mortgage rates are going to go down, because we already had mortgage rates going from 8% down to 6.1%. So almost 200 basis points from the highs we had last October to this October, and the Federal Reserve didn't do anything. So now it's kind of like, now what's the next step for the Fed? But I hope you guys learned a lesson there. I had a lot of people reaching out to us saying, Dan, now that rates are up 0.5%, I'm going to put off my refinance at this time. And I don't blame you. So the numbers will start coming back down. But like he said, we have port strikes, we have wars, we have hurricanes, we have another hurricane coming, and the hits just keep coming. So that's the dilemma we have right now. So over through here, I did pull a chart that show you where the federal funds rate is or direction it goes, and then what unemployment rates do, and how they kind of correlate or kind of flip-flop. So let me show you this. Okay, so right through here, we go back in time, and every time, let's see right through here. Unemployment rates, unemployment start going up, and what happened? Interest rates go up. So usually they'll increase rates, cool down things, and then unemployment goes up, and then they overdo it at the Fed, and what happens is unemployment starts to go down, and they pop up rates again. Okay, so that's what happens. You can see where rates are going up and the unemployment numbers. So you can see the correlation between those, okay? And over through this area, so when unemployment starts going up, it usually trickles right along with the Federal Reserve either increasing or decreasing rates. So I just wanted to show you this. It's kind of neat, I guess, is a good way to put it. And that's not a very technical term, but you can see when this is up, this goes up and trailing behind it. I'm talking about the blue, the federal funds rate. It's going up, and then you'll start seeing unemployment rate going up. Then the unemployment, they'll drop down rates. Unemployment will start going down. Then they increase rate. And you can see the pattern there. So hopefully that makes a little sense to you where we're going to go from here. I don't know. There were kind of a crossing roads right through here. We were crossing roads here. We were crossing roads here. So the direction it's going to take, it's really difficult to take. You know, back in this time in 2008 when you had the financial crash, look, they basically took the federal funds rate down to nothing almost, an eighth, while we had the unemployment rate at 9.9%. So you can see when unemployment goes up, they'll reduce rates to help the economy, and then the flip-flop the other way. And then we had the massive increase in unemployment due to COVID. And you can see once again, the Federal Reserve came in, stepped in, and just basically dropped the federal funds rate to zero. So now their dilemma is, what's the employment market going to do? So that's our dilemma for that day. So let's get over to stocks, see how they're doing. Love it, love it, love it. We have all green across the top, and we have red on the VIX. So the markets are cooling down just a little bit. Look at that. Got the Dow Jones up 126, NASDAQ's up 259. Let's see if cryptocurrency came back a little bit. No, it's actually getting hammered right now, down another 1,000 to 62,000. We have oil, please. Yes, oil is down 4%, back down to the low 70s. That's going to help inflation. So all these things, everything that we look at here, it does play a part in the economics of real estate and the equity markets. So that's it for right now. I do want to show you guys an interesting, I just took in three loans over the last week, and they were all very, very similar, okay? They were all VA loans, $1 million or higher. What I want to let you guys know is we had some good news. Most of those, two out of the three people, were on disability, and that's not the good news. But the good news is there, when you have a VA loan and you have a disability, in most cases, you're exempt from all the VA funding fees. So actually, these people were able to take advantage of it tremendously. So here's a borrower that I helped out last year. They bought a $1.35 million home. The rate was 5.99%. Okay, we're refinancing them right now to a 4.9 rate. And there's about $2,800 in fees on that one. How much is the savings behind this? And yes, this is the rate. And I just locked this in last week. Rates are up a little bit since then, but you can see the savings here on this one. And this is how it amplifies when people say, you know, do I need a whole percent rate increase or a reduction in rate to make it make sense? Well, look at this one. This person's going to save almost $1,000 a month, okay? And their break-even point is 3 months. Okay, so basically means they refinance within 3 months, they recouped all their fees, so they're back in the good graces of this. So this isn't as much because I've tried to help people that have about a $110,000 loan. Let's look at it. So let me just make this make sense for you. Let's say you have a $125,000 loan. Okay, and we'll just keep the numbers the same. We'll go there, and then I'm just going to go $125,000. With $2,800 in fees, and you could see that. That person was saving about $1,000 a month. This person, 70. Would I refinance? No. So that's what I mean. It depends on your loan size. There is no trick to say, okay, if it goes down 0.5%, you should refinance. No, 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 no. This person can go down 1% and it still doesn't make any sense. So we created a tool on our website. It's right through here. Let me get my head out of the way. Let me see if I can move the right column. So on our rate, on our website, it's therateupdate.com. You're going to see this young fella over here pop up on your screen as soon as you load it. What we're going to ask you to do is we created a rate watch tool. So what this does, it allows you to put in the rate that you want to refinance. So for example, let's say you're at 7.25, 7.5 right now. And you're like, Dan, when rates hit 6.25, let me know. Let's look at the numbers and see if it makes sense to refinance. That's why we created that thing. So it's available to you guys right now on our website. So it's therateupdate.com. Here's what you're going to see when you go to our website. If you're buying that first house, I ask you to do one thing. Click the grant finder right over here. So it'll find you grants throughout the whole country, as well as grants that we have in the Chicagoland area. So here's our website. My name is Dan Frio. I'm a loan officer in the Chicagoland area. But the good news is, if you like what you see, I can help you. And the reason being is, I'm licensed in all 50 states, as well as Puerto Rico. So there's no reason why you shouldn't reach out to me if you're looking to buy that first house, maybe buy that first investment property, maybe even refinance. Those are all things that we can help you with. A lot of people right now are doing debt consolidation because they just, with this inflation going the way it is, they just weren't making enough money to make ends meet. So we did some breakdowns, and a lot of people are working on those right now to help them save some money for them and their families. If that's you, check us out. We'd love to help you navigate this environment if you're looking to buy or refinance. So love to for you to reach out to us. You can click the Apply Now button right through here. Or what most people are doing, they're scrolling down and they're calling us. That is the way I would do it. So you're going to scroll down. Right through here is our 800 number. It's 844-775-5626. Or you can reach me directly on my email at dan@theRateUpdate.com. So thanks so much for watching, guys. God bless. Have a fantastic night. Be safe out there. And I'll see you here tomorrow. Bye-bye.